Brother Andy, I appreciate that, and we've been looking forward to coming, being with you. Of course, I'm going to move that down, but I'm using this one. I guess I could move it out of the way. That's not unusual for me to go to a church and the microphone be up here. And, you know, and so usually I tell them, you can hear my thoughts. But anyway. Well, it's good to be with you, and I'll tell you, that song was a blessing to my heart. Anybody ever flown in an airplane and it'd be all rainy and dismal and gray down here, and then that plane punches through those clouds and the sun is shining up there. Boy, what a blessing. First time I ever flew, that's exactly the way it was. And man, I'll tell you what, I looked out the window and all this gray and storminess was down beneath us now. And I looked out and all I could see was just this white, looked like cotton, man, just stretched across there everywhere, sun shining. And back then, it was there was an old Southern gospel song out called Steppin' on the Clouds. And I just started singing that song, Steppin' on the Clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Guy sat next to me said, buddy, you step out on those clouds, you will see Jesus real fast. And so so anyway... I'm glad you got the clock. My watch is not, isn't that something for a Baptist preacher to tell you his watch is not working well? I think I put a battery in it, but evidently it was a bad battery. I don't know. But it reminded me of the little boy who took his friend to school, or to church rather, on Sunday morning. Hadn't gone to church anything. And, everything that happened, the little boy was saying, why they do that? You know, ushers came forward. He said, what's that mean? What's that mean? Well, it means we're fixing to take an offering. And then somebody came out and stood before the mic. What's that mean? What's that mean? Well, they're fixing to sing a song in just a moment. Preacher got ready, took his watch off, and he laid it out there like that. And the little boy said, what's that mean? What's that mean? He said, usually it doesn't mean a thing. But anyway, so that's what happens sometimes. I was in a church, actually the church that I was telling about this morning where I'd finished the revival and ended up breaking my ankle. There's a woodworking fella in that church. And that week, he gave me a clock. Most unusual clock I've ever seen. It's a wooden oak clock. Has the hands and the mechanism and everything. But all the numbers, 1 through 12, are in a pile at the bottom of this clock. They're just in a pile down there. And he has across the top of it, who cares? He was going to hang it in the church. He thought, oh, no. The preacher doesn't need to see, who cares. And so, but anyway, so I put it in our kitchen. We have it in our kitchen right now. And I my wife likes it in there because when we say, when's it ready? She says, read the clock. No, I'm just teasing. She hadn't said that yet. But anyway, so I may have gave her an ideal. I don't know. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. This is a very, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you, the last three verses of this. And I believe several years ago when I was here, I actually brought my yoke, I think, and preached the yoke message here. And that's been several years ago. I actually have a yoke and illustrate this message. But I want to preach this morning. This is a little different from that particular one. That's called the Principles of the Yoke. But this one here, I want to zero in actually on verse 28 of this passage. And if you are physically able, would you stand in honor of God's Word as we read this morning? And I understand, believe me, after being in a wheelchair this summer, sometimes you're just not able to stand. And so that's perfectly all right. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you would bless, dear God, and this time. And Lord, would you enable me and help me, Lord, to bring forth to these lips those things that you want said. And Lord, would you do the work you alone can do. And that's touch hearts, change lives. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, that this may be the hour when they'd come and, Lord, be saved. Lord, I pray now you would just, Lord, again, do what you alone can do. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I've preached from this passage. I've read this passage. And reading it here not too awful long ago, I kind of want to take verse 28 and zero in on verse 28. And I love sometimes just to read and then to come back and just think about each part of that verse. Sometimes do a word study, sometimes just letting the verse soak in. And that's how this came about here in this particular message. You know, I would ask this question. Now, don't raise your hand because I think I know the answer. But is there anybody here that's looking for rest? I think I know the answer. Amen. We live in a 24/7 hectic paced society. Amen. I mean, it's going all the time. And when we think about physically and physical rest, we know that, hey, this is something that every one of us in the day and time we live has difficulty with at times, is being able to find that physical rest. And then we have the word that is commonly used in our society now, the word stress. Anybody ever heard that word? That's usually what the doctor tells you have if they can't find anything else. Amen? They say it's stress, and a lot of times it is. I had a doctor say to me, do you have anything that gives you stress? He shouldn't have asked that question because it stressed me out really bad. And I said, I can't believe you even asked that question. That's why I was in the doctor's office, you know, there. But there's going to be stress in life. There's going to be those times. Now here, Jesus is speaking to a group. And he's speaking to this group of people that are farmers. He's talking to them about a farming procedure. He's talking about using a yoke of oxen or animals to plow. He's talking to those who have labored. And he's trying to give them this physical illustration or using these physical things to teach them a spiritual lesson like he so often does. And as he speaks to this crowd, these ones that are very familiar with what it's like to get behind a team of animals and hold on to a plow and plow up in those Middle Eastern soils, rock and hard dirt, and plow and get dirty and get hot and get tired. They know what he's talking about when he's using this illustration. And I want us to understand this morning, as we look into this verse, I want us to remember that what the Lord's talking about, he's talking about a spiritual rest. It goes beyond the physical rest. Now, we do need physical rest. Amen? And the Bible says, the psalmist says, he giveth his beloved sleep. And we do need times of rest. As a matter of fact, hey, when we come to worship the Lord, it's also a time for rest for our soul by looking to him and trusting him. And so we find it is. And so we need physical rest, but at the same time, he's trying to relate to them this spiritual rest. And so he says, the first part of this verse starts with one word, and I just want to kind of take that one word, first of all, come. Boy, I'm so glad for the invitations in the Word of God. Amen. Jesus is sitting before this group of people, and he says, come. Come. Now, there's many ways that come could be said. When I was growing up, if I heard it this way, Joe David Decker, you come here this merry minute. I didn't expect to get a hug when I got back. I kind of expected I was in trouble for something. Just the way it was said and the tone it was said that I had better get there. But it wasn't just because they wanted to love on me. You see, there is ways. But can I tell you, this come here is a loving come. I can see Jesus as he's here and he's putting out his arms and he's saying, come, come. Why? Because I love you. I want you to come because I love you. Come. Oh, I'm so glad that we have the word come throughout the Word of God, that invitation to come. As a matter of fact, that invitation sums and concludes the Bible. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. unto me. And then he says also, it says, you can come. Let him that is athirst come. That come is throughout the Word of God, that invitation to come. And He wants us to come because He loves us. He was willing to show that love. Did you know He came because He loved us? That's why He came to this earth. That's why He went to an old rugged cross. That's why He died and endured the cross, because of His love for us. So He proved His love on the cross of Calvary. And now He extends to these people the invitation, come, come. Come. So it is a loving come. I'm glad that the Lord loves us. I'm glad that He cares for us. I'm glad that He wants us. That brings me, not only is it a loving come, but it is a longing come. He says this in such a way that He desires. It's not just an invitation. It's not just a come, but He really wants them to come. He desires them to come. It's one of those that, hey, it's not just a word, and it's not just an invitation, but His heart is in this come, and He excitingly wants them to come, or anxiously in a sense of not fretting, but in the sense of wanting it to take place. I thought about that, and I thought about my grandchildren. Now, whenever I get a call and my grandchildren are coming from Springfield or Oklahoma City, and they come because all of our grandchildren live out of town. We don't have any right there. We have 8 number 9s on the way, and the closest one's 8 hours in Springfield, Missouri. And they were just coming home during the Labor Day week, and I'm going to tell you what. They call and say, we're leaving, or they text and say, we're leaving and coming. We sit there at home and we say, well, right now they should be about Poplar Bluff, Missouri. They should be about Sikeston, Missouri. And you know why we're doing that? It's because we're anticipating. Not my son. Come on, grandparents, help me out. It's those little feet, amen? And when they come in the door, I don't even have to say the word come. All I got to do is this. Amen? And they come. Because they know we want to see them. I texted, we're leaving here tomorrow and heading to Oklahoma City to where our other grandkids are at there. And talked to my daughter Angie, and or my wife did. She was texting while I was driving my daughter. Or was you talking to her on the phone? You was texting her that time, wasn't you? We did both. But anyway. And so anyway, she said, the boys said they wish you could come now. You know, because she told them when she got there, she was waiting for her hugs to come when she got there. And they said they had them ready. Can I tell you, that's a longing come. It's a come because I long to see you. Did you know what? That's exactly what He's doing. He wasn't just extending an invitation. He was longing for them to come. He desired them to come. The whole purpose for Him being there was so they could come. And so He said, come. And He said it in such a way, I believe, that they understood. And with His outstretched arms, I believe. And then it's a life-changing come. Once you accept that invitation, amen, your life is never the same. Especially when it's the come of salvation. Man, as a teenager, I came one evening and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life's never been the change, been the same since, because I was changed when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it's a life-changing event. If you're here and you're not saved today, you can be changed. Old things can pass away, and behold, all things become new. This morning, you can come and trust Jesus Christ. You're saying, you know what? He's saying, come. 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 So the word come is there. But let's look at the next part. We look not only to the word come, but look what it says here. Come unto me. He's specific in where you need to come. You won't find that rest. You won't find that peace. You won't find what you need in anybody else or anything else. It's only found in Jesus Christ. He's very specific. If you want the rest I have, you're going to have to come unto me. You see, everybody in this world is looking for it. Did you understand? They're really looking for it. But the problem is they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking to religion, but religion will not give you rest. Religion will just heap more burdens upon you. Because you have to do, and that's what it's all about. It's not about coming to that place of finding that rest in your soul when you have to work for it or earn it. But so He didn't say come to religion. He didn't say just come and turn over a new leaf. He said come unto Me. He's very specific. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. John 14:6. You know, we live in a day and time when, there's all kinds of religions around. But if you want the rest He alone can give, you got to come to Him. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way to get to heaven. And Jesus is that way. There's one way to get that rest. And Jesus, He said, come unto Me. It means you must recognize the person of Jesus Christ and be willing to submit to Him. Their coming was their recognition of saying, I recognize who You are and what You can do. And they were willing to come and humble themselves and come unto Him. It was a matter of willing to submit to Him. And you know what? When we get saved, that's exactly what it is. It's submitting to Him and realizing we can't get ourselves to heaven. It's only through what He did on the cross of Calvary. So we find that we must recognize the person that He's talking about, come unto Me. And in recognizing the person, we recognize the price that He paid on the cross of Calvary. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, our salvation was purchased. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. Jesus Christ paid that price. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that you and I could come unto Him. Oh, if we just recognize the importance. But let me tell you, can I say something to we that are saved? It's also in those times of difficulty that we can come to Him and find the rest we need in our Christian lives. In those difficult times when we're toiling, we're laboring, in those times when we spiritually have turmoil inside, let me tell you something, that's when we need to turn to Him and come to Him and let Him have control of our lives. Did you know what? When you talk about a yoke and you talk about animals in a yoke and plowing, you'll find out also it's a matter of control. Whoever's holding those reins, whoever's working that, and I'm going to tell you, there's only one way to find that rest in our life as children of God, and that's to let the reins be in the hands of our Savior. To give Him the control and let Him have that control in our life. I'm going to tell you, we don't like to do that because that's against our old nature. We want to control everything that happens in our life. But it's when we're willing to recognize and say, I can't control it, but Lord, You can. Here's the reins to my life. You take control. He said, come unto Me. Recognizing the person, recognizing the price. And I want you also to know it's a matter of the promises that He gives too, because I love it, and I'll get to it and talk about that a little more. But I like what He says when He says, I will. Not I might. Not maybe. But I will. Whenever the Savior says He will, He will. No doubt about it. He will. So we find, second part, He said, come, and then He said, unto Me. Now look at the next word. Well, let me just do a portion here. All ye that labor. But I want to take, if you'll permit me, just take the word all for a minute. I'm so glad all's in there. I don't know about you, but that excites me that all's in there. Because that means, you know what the word all means? All. It's very simple. It means anybody. It means everybody. All. Well, I'm so glad that the invitation wasn't extended to a certain group of people. I'm glad it wasn't just to tall folks. Amen? I'd have been left out. I'm glad it wasn't just to wealthy folks. I'd have been left out. I'm glad it wasn't to people with hair. I'd have been left out. No, that word all encompasses every one of us, regardless of our background, regardless of where we come from, regardless of what we've done, regardless of who we are. It says, come unto Me all. I'm so glad for that all. how important that is. You know, that's so hard to realize at times that, oh, listen, Jesus died on the cross. And when He died on the cross, He died for the sins of all men. Amen. Bowling Green, Kentucky, 70,000 people in our town. We have become a melting pot of the world in that small community. We have 8,000 Muslims in Bowling Green, Kentucky now. We have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 or so Burmese people that have come in. We have several thousand Southeastern Asians, Thai, Vietnamese, Cambodian, that have come into our country. A large Hispanic population, a large Oriental population that's there. I'm telling you, they've come from all over the world, and we have them. But I'm glad that in our church we run our buses and those kids come. And I'm so glad that we can reach them with the gospel and tell them that Jesus Christ loves them and He died for them and they can be saved. And we're reaching some of those Burmese kids right now. A couple of years ago we had a Burmese girl that came. We had several children. Matter of fact, our bus came and the bus came. And when it did the first night, they had 17 people on the bus, a 66 passenger. They were so disappointed. The teenagers went out the next day, 2 years ago, and they visited. And that night they came in, they were all excited. They said, "We got 55 on the bus, Brother Decker, but most of them don't speak English." And I said, "I don't speak their language. What are we going to do?" But they do. You know, children will pick it up quicker than the adults will. Thursday night, little old gal right here came out, stepped out, and walked down the aisle. I said, "Honey, what's your name?" And she said, "Lu Chin." I said, "Lu Chin, what did you come for?" She said, "Lu Chin need Jesus in here." I turned her over to one of our ladies and I explained that she was Burmese and I wasn't sure how much she understood. And I tell you what, that little old gal got down on her knees and she prayed. And she told the lady, "Lu Chin, pray in own language." And I said, "What'd she do?" She said, "She prayed in some Oriental language." And then I asked her, "What did you pray?" She said, "Lu Chin asked Jesus come into house." She said, "Brother Decker," she said, "house instead of heart." I said, "It's okay. The Lord knows that's all right." And that little gal for 2 years has never, hardly ever misses a Sunday. She can tell you all the apostles. She can quote you scriptures. And we've reached now several of those Burmese teenagers coming to our church, even this past summer, several more of them. You know what? I'm glad I can tell them, even though they're from Burma, and some of them have come out of different other Buddhist backgrounds and that Jesus Christ loved them and died on the cross for them, and they can be saved because He died for them all. Well, I got to move on. You didn't know one verse would take so long to get through. "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Now, this word labor here is an interesting word. It doesn't just mean work. You know, we can do all kinds of work. No, this word labor here, it implies, like I said, standing behind a plow, controlling oxen. It implies laborious, hard, toiling work. It has with it the idea of weariness, of being drained. Have you ever had a time in your life, folks, where it seemed like you were just drained, where there was nothing left to go on? You had labored, you had gone through some difficulty, maybe some troubles in your life, and some things that are taking place to the point that you have nothing to draw from, it seems like. And you don't know where to turn, and it just seems like you're just worn out inside and out. That's what He's talking about. He said, "For you that labor like that, come unto me, all ye that labor." Hey, I'm the one that knows. I'm the one that can help. I'm the one that cares. I'm the one that can give you the rest you need. Come. I'm going to tell you, there's times in our life when we go and we go and we go. And can I say something to you, my friend? It can be Christians who love the Lord, but at the same time get so busy serving God that it seems like sometimes we're just kind of running on empty, to the point that nothing's happening, and our service for the Lord is not something that's joyful and exciting, but it becomes a drudgery because it seems like we're toiling so hard.
and we get cumbered. Do you remember Martha and Mary? Jesus is in the house. You remember poor Martha coming out of the kitchen? Lord, I'm in there laboring. I'm putting in my own words now, but basically I can see her doing this. I'm working and there's nobody in here to help me. Mary's sitting out here listening to you at your feet, and I'm just working away trying to get this meal ready and everything. Y'all remember what Jesus' words were? Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered. You know what that means? You're loaded. You're hindered. Mary has sought that which is good. She's learning about Jesus. She's finding rest for her soul. I mean, a perfect picture of this verse right here. She said, because I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'll come back to it. That's the way we find rest, is learning of Him. And when we leave off the learning of Him, it becomes laborious toiling that drains us. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, and watch this now. And he separated this. He did. I thought heavy laden and laboring, they got to be one. No. Heavy laden, that's talking about carrying a load. How many of you have ever seen these little donkeys in these pictures of overseas lands? And they got these little old donkeys, only about that high. And they got these crates and barrels and boxes, and they're piled up. I mean, way up here, and them little old donkeys are just walking along, you know. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for them little things. And man, they're carrying that load along there. Or you see people, they may not can afford a donkey. And I've seen the pictures, and I've seen in foreign lands, I've seen them, they actually have the load tied on their back, and they're all bent over, and they're going. Or I've seen them with a pile on their head. He said, all ye that have a load that you're heavy laden with. My pastor, I surrendered under Horace Nutt, he was a Texan. He was 6 foot and some odd inches tall, weighed probably 285 and maybe even more than that at times. Went to the Philippines on a mission trip going up to the mountains, and they put him on a burrow. He said, I felt sorry for that little burrow. He said, there was times when I had to lift my feet to keep them from dragging. He said, halfway up that mountain, I wanted to get off and carry the burrow up there. He said, when I got to the top, he said, I believe with all my heart. He said, I swung my leg off that old burrow and got off. And he said, with all my heart, I believe I heard that burrow go, whew. I'm telling you, there's times in our life when we have load. We're weighted down. Oh, by the way, that's who Jesus is talking to. Did you come in here carrying a load today? He's saying, come. Did you come in here laboring today and toiling? He said, come. That's who he's talking to. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you what. Thank God. Because you know what? You know how he gives rest? Number one, he can remove the load. Now, sometimes we carry a load. You know, there's people that carry a load of sin. God doesn't want you to carry a load of sin. You come in here this morning with a load of sin, you come and leave it right here at the altar this morning. If you're not saved, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll leave the load of sin right here. If you are saved, but you've got things in your life that doesn't need to be there, as a Christian, you come and leave them. Put them on the blood and walk out those doors standing upright and going out without the load. And sometimes even when we get saved, we can carry a load of guilt that God doesn't want us to carry that either. Remember, He set us free. But let Him come. He'll take the load sometimes. He'll take it away. Because that's what the yoke's all about. It's about getting in His yoke. And that means He's carrying the load. He's taking it from you with that yoke principle. And then sometimes it means if we'll come unto Him, He may not take the load, but I'll tell you what, He'll give us the grace and strength we need to go on. Because He's with us. He's in the yoke with us. And so He's there to help us bear up under it and go on. And He always seems to always give us the refreshment for our soul that we need in the midst of. Hey, have you ever been out hot working in a field and somebody, boy, I'll tell you what, bring you a good cold drink? Ice water. There was a place where we used to go and hunt all the time, and an older gentleman owned it, and he had a spring house. How many of you know what a spring house is? Spring in the ground, they built a little house over it, and he had a little thing in there where the water would run, and he kept a dipper hanging on the wall. I love that place. Go out there in August, it'd be 100 degrees outside. You walk down that little spring house, it's just cool. Get that dipper out of there, slosh it around, clean it up from the last guy, a little bit. Throw it over the side. You say, yeah, I'm still living. And you drink that cool, cold water. But you didn't just drink it. Y'all know what? How many of you know what I did besides drink it? You just kind of let it come out around here and run down here. And then that little bit you might even take pour up here. What refreshment it was. Can I tell you something? That's what He wants to do for our souls. Oh, sometimes in the middle of it all, He has a way of just making it bubble inside and refresh our souls. Oh, but you know what that all is contingent upon? Coming. You notice He didn't go to them. He said, I have come to this earth, but now it's up to you what choice you make. I can see Him sitting there with His hands outstretched. Come. Come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know where that rest is? That rest is submitting to Him and then learning of Him. What I talked about in Sunday school, it's coming to this book right here. It's getting in this Word. Reading about Him. Being close to Him and learning of Him. Can I tell you, that's talking about a close relationship. You know what? It's amazing how when you're with somebody for a long time, you continually learn of them. Amen? Now, me and my wife, I forgot to introduce you. By the way, stand up, Denise. This is my wife, Denise. 41 years. I'm going to do it in the middle of the service. Amen? Can I tell you something? Hey, isn't it amazing how young couples, before they get married, they know everything they think they know about each other? But you really don't know them until you live with them 24/7. Amen? Am I correct? How many? Amen? And we've been married 41 years. Can I tell you, we're still learning about one another. Amen? You see, because when you spend time together, it's a process of this continual learning. And the longer you're together and you have that relationship and that fellowship, I'm going to tell you, that's how we learn of the Lord. It's being close to Him and it's daily having our time with Him and we learn of Him. And I'm going to tell you what, when we learn of Him, it brings a rest into our soul because we realize who He is and what He can do. And He's saying to them, come, come, come. That's what He's saying. Now it's up to you this morning. He's got His hands outstretched. You came in here carrying a load? He's saying to you this morning, come. All you that labor and heavy laden, come. Don't put it off. Don't turn. Come. Come to me. I'm the one that can give you the rest you need for your soul. I can give you that rest. Andrew, come here a minute, please. Since he's my son. Come, Andrew. Did you know that's exactly what he's talking about in that verse? Wouldn't have his arms outstretched, wouldn't be saying come if he wasn't ready to receive. Come. Come. Can I tell you something? I don't know about you, but I'll tell you for me, sometimes I've found great rest just in an embrace. You go through a difficult time and people says, I don't know what to say. You ever had to come back to my opportunity to say this? Love you. Care about you. And man, what that does for you on the inside. And the Lord says, sometimes that's what I want to do with my children. I just want you to come. Let me put my arms around you. Let me show you who I am. And let me assure you of what I can do for you. And He can do it for you. But again, it's your choice. It's up to you. Thank you, son. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We prepare for an invitation song. They're coming to do that this morning. So what is an invitation time? It's time for you to come. That's what it is. It's time for you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Don't go. Come. Come. That's this invitation right now. It's to come. You say, I came in, Brother Decker. You don't know what I'm carrying. I don't. You're right. But the Lord does. And He can give you the rest for your soul this morning, if you'll allow Him to do so. This morning, just two questions. We'll pray and start singing. Number one, if you're in here this morning as a Christian and you just say this, Brother Decker, when you pray, include me in that prayer. God's touched my heart about my own life. And I'm carrying a load, or I'm laboring, toiling. I've got some situations maybe in my life. Brother Decker, would you include me as a Christian in that prayer when you pray? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up all over the building, slip them up? Yes, I'm seeing. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. On the ground floor and upstairs as well. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? All right, thank you. You may put them down. Is there anybody say this? Preacher, remember me because I've never come for salvation yet. I'm not saved. If I died, I do not know I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, hold it up long enough for me to see it. I'll recognize it. You take it right back down. You just say, pray for me. That's all I want to do. Intelligently pray for you, knowing that you have a need. And you just say, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody like that, just hold it up. And I'll acknowledge it. And you take it back down. Pray for me. I need to be saved.